you've reached Brad Manning at my deployment phone number. Please leave a message or call me back later. Thank you.
A question and an answer there. Who are you, Brad Manning? Well, he's under the custody of federal authorities, facing a court-martial at a Virginia military base, up to 52 years in prison if found guilty of being responsible for some of the WikiLeaks documents that have dominated the headlines really for the past few days, if not weeks, going back to disclosures about policy and intelligence gathering in Iraq and Afghanistan. It's not completely clear what his connection is to the diplomatic cables that were released over the weekend. But who is Brad Manning? Well, here to help us answer that and to determine what is both special and not special about this private first-class intelligence officer who's caused so much chaos around the world is Denver Nix, a reporter for The Daily Beast. Good morning, Denver.
Morning.
And Patrick Crowley, who's director of computer engineering programs at the Washington University in St. Louis Department School of Engineering and Applied Sciences. He's on the line from St. Louis. Good morning, Patrick.
Yes, indeed. Good morning.
So, Denver, first of all, what is special about Brad Manning? I mean, he's a private, low-level security clearance, yet capable of doing so much damage. Why might he do something like this?
Right. Well, he's always been outspoken and unapologetic about who he is. I think that he did this because he thought it was the right thing to do, frankly. He saw what was going on with his job in Iraq and decided that it was the best thing, the moral decision, for better or for worse, to leak a tremendous amount of documents to WikiLeaks, allegedly.
Right, and Denver Nix is a reporter for The Daily Beast, but, I mean, every person in the Army knows the song, "I don't want no more of Army life. Please, Ma, I want to go home." The idea that there are only a couple of private first-class intelligence officers who might do something like this seems to be absurd on its face. How vulnerable do you think, for instance, the State Department computer systems are to something like this, Patrick Crowley?
Yeah, you know, when I consider the facts that are available on this case, I don't see a takeaway point consisting of a technology or process failure. This seems to me to be a relatively straightforward case of someone who had privileged access to information who decided to walk out the door with that information.
And is this the nature of information now, that the growth, first of all, of the archive itself, the fact that it's digitally available, and the fact that there are people who have access to it who have changeable moods, means that this is going to happen, and there's no specific personality profile that's going to prevent this from happening again, Patrick Crowley?
Yeah, I think there are two ways to look at that, and both of them, both ways answer that question in the positive. The first is to say that all of our communication technologies, the internet foremost, you can view them as mechanisms that really amplify our abilities as people. They really make it easier for us to communicate. And so generally across our society, information is disseminating far more rapidly than previously, and sometimes far more rapidly than we would like. And secondly, in the specific case of the information relating to the Department of Defense, so the DOD has an important job of keeping information from getting into the wrong hands, but they also have an important job of sharing information. You certainly want the right and left hands within the DOD to know what's going on, and that requires them to share information, and that requires low-level classified information like these cables to be accessible by a comparatively large number of junior and senior people. More secure, more highly classified information, of course, is seen by many fewer people. But this class of information really is accessed by a relatively large number of folks.
And indeed, the vulnerability after 9/11 was precisely this non-sharing of information, not the sharing of information that we're talking about now, with Patrick Crowley, who's the director of the computer engineering programs at the Washington University in St. Louis. All right, so Denver Nix, let's say I design some sort of personality profile to catch the next Brad Manning. What about his personality is a red light here, based on your reporting?
Well, you know, I wrote a profile for Brad Manning for a magazine called This Land Press out of Tulsa. I went back to his hometown in Crescent, and everybody there universally said he was too smart for his own good. Brad Manning is intelligent, and I think he thought he was underappreciated. He's always been precocious and prickly, I think. People found him irritating. But there's also been a sort of caricature spread in the media that Brad Manning is some kind of antisocial, friendless geek lashing out at the world. And I don't think that's the case. He has friends still today. He has had friends throughout his life. He held down jobs. He got kicked out of his house by his dad when his father found out he was gay, and managed to make it on his own for a time, moved to Washington, D.C., and joined the Army, became an intelligence analyst, and was trusted with all this information.
A self-starter, you could be describing someone who's perfect qualifications for leadership. But in this particular case, it was the perfect qualifications to be a historic leaker now facing perhaps 50 years of imprisonment for the crimes he's accused of. Denver Nix is a reporter for the Daily Beast. Patrick Crowley is director of computer engineering programs at the Washington University at the St. Louis Department School of Engineering and Applied Sciences. What is the vulnerability in America? Well, there's a conversation going at thetakeaway.org all about the WikiLeaks vulnerability. Here's Seth from New York posting to thetakeaway.org. Considering the outrage surrounding the Valerie Plame revelations, there's another one, it's amazing how little Americans care about the information and sources divulged by WikiLeaks, which are much broader and deeper. It would seem that without a partisan undercurrent, Americans are pretty unfazed by the revelation of government secrets. But we should thank WikiLeaks for forcing the press to start digging into these stories. If it weren't for WikiLeaks, we'd still be getting news stories about what the president ate for the Thanksgiving holiday. Tell us what you think by heading to thetakeaway.org or call 877-8-MY-TAKE.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.